Hey everybody, this is Stelly Efti.
And this is Heaton Cha, and today we're going to talk about email newsletters.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit, we got it!
For people trying to get shit done.
Done, yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
We want you to do your best.
And the reason we're talking about this is both of us have email newsletters. For different reasons. I probably have, I don't know how many, but a lot of them. So, and a few ones that I'm spending a lot of time on. So this is a great topic. Let's give some context though. What kind of email newsletters are we talking about here, Stelly?
Well, that's the big question, right? So the reason why I wanted to talk about this is twofold. One, I feel like almost every startup has one, right? So startups do this activity where they collect emails and then they send these emails or regular generic message, a newsletter of sorts. But I've also seen that recently the behaviors of many startups when it comes to their newsletters has changed. I think that people have gotten a bit more sophisticated and smart about it. I see a rise of individual newsletters, like your Product Hunt, Product Habits newsletter started as just an individual curated newsletter. And so I see a lot of changes happening. I see a lot of things happening with people having email list and sending out newsletters. So I wanted to chat a little bit about what's going on today and what we recommend, especially for startups in terms of like how to use a newsletter in a purposeful way that either grows your audience, grows the engagement, or converts your audience to more customers, right? Not just doing it mindlessly. So I'll start with the mindless shit that people were doing in the past and many still do today, I guess. And then let's talk a little bit about some of the things we do and we see other people do that are inspiring or particularly effective that we think startups should steal and copy and learn from. So I think that the typical newsletter template that everybody has in their mind is this generic email that is sent to everybody in the email that marketing at a startup has an email on. And it's typically this like HTML formatted, here is anything of potential generic interest to people on this list. So stars will have like, here are a few news items about us. Here are some articles we've written. Here's some new features we've developed. Here's a promotion we're running. Here's a little funny thing we've done because it's Christmas season. And here's something else. Like it's usually pretty long and it's super generic and it just includes, you know, a number of news items about the company. Hence why probably the name newsletter. Like, here's everything new about us, everything that could be of interest. And it's very generic and very long, and it's sent to an incredibly generic list, just everybody, right? That, I think, is how most companies were doing newsletters forever. And I see that changing now, and I'm in big favor, so I wanted to talk about that.
Yeah, people think email is dead, Stelly. Mm. That's, I think, something that comes up every freaking, like, 3 months. Someone says email's dead, and I want to shake them and say, why would you tell anybody email is dead? How often do we as, I guess, knowledge workers, if you want to call it that, or people building products or founders or anybody on the planet that is doing any work, how often do we use email? Even Slack cannot kill email with yep. the ubiquity Slack has. Even any of those things, even text message cannot kill email. And I'm not talking about the Snapchat generation. I'm not talking about like pre-millennials, which I think you and I both have.
Yeah.
A few little ones that are pre-millennials. I have this great picture I have to post somewhere of them looking so millennial. It's not even funny. But anyway, no, it's not pre-millennials. Sorry, post-millennials. Yeah, I'm even getting that wrong. You and I are probably more pre-millennials. Anyways, I'm borderline. I was born in 81. So my point is, like, email, well, even once those folks get in the workplace, email's still going to be where it's at. And to a great extent, because they are going to have to interact with folks who only work through email. And, you know, to me, like, people will open your emails if they are good. I'll even say it even better. People will continue to open your emails if they are great. And what does great mean? You know, that's, I think, what the discussion to me is all about. How do you write great email? Not how do you write good email? Not what tool do I use? How do you write great email? So Stelly, my first question for you about this is, how do you write great email?
Well, that's a great question. So the way I write great email is very fundamental. I think about the user experience and I think about the user journey with us. So to me, an email, you know, starts in the inbox with a subject line, which is something I want to, you know, that. So first I get into somebody's inbox. So I need to know who that person is, and hopefully it's the right person and the right day and time to even be in their inbox. Then I want to write a subject line that will both capture your imagination and make you feel intrigued enough to want to open the email and read it, and also is honest enough so that what I'm promising you in the subject, I'm delivering in the email. Then I'm asking myself, you know, I'm had the base assumption that people are really, really busy, and so I don't want to send large generic junk. I want to send short, specific, really valuable stuff. So I'm asking myself, how can I make this as short as possible, but not shorter? How can I make this as valuable to the reader as possible? And how can I make sure that I'm formatting this in a way that allows the reader to quickly figure out, what is this about? What does Stelly want from me? Where can I get more? Or what do I do with this? And so, you know, for us, it meant going from, you know, doing what I described earlier of sending an email to everybody like once a month that was like a nicely formatted HTML thing that just included everything, to really start segmenting our list and saying, okay, here's the people that we want to send our best content to, and we're going to send them, because we know they really love our content and they read it and they open the emails, let's send them more emails, right? Because they want to have more of our stuff in their life. And let's take some of the product announcements that we want to do and focus those announcements on the specific users that care most about them and need to know more about them and send them those very highly targeted messages. And then let's think about the interception, the people that we know have never tried our product but have been reading and appreciating our content for a really long time, come from areas in the world that we know we got get lots of customers from. And let's make a frequent effort once a month in our case to approach these people and tell them, hey, we're sending you all this stuff. We're teaching you all these things. You're getting all this value from us. Did you know about our product? And here's a reason why you should check it out, right? And like push them and convert them to trials. And just being more segmented, being more focused is one thing. Killing the newsletter, the generic newsletter, was another thing. But then from an individual email point of view, it's always the same thing. Like I'm thinking about the journey that the reader has from seeing the email in the inbox, to opening it, to reading it, to asking themselves the inevitable question, what do I do next? Sometimes I want them to just, oh, what do I do next is click this link so I can read the entire article on how to negotiate $1 million deal or how to do a cold call or whatever it is. And sometimes it's, oh, what they want me to do is hit reply and tell Stelly my number one question about sales. Or, oh, what they want me to do is click this link and sign up for a trial for close. Like going through the journey and keeping that in mind that people receive this and wondering what their needs are is, I think, at the fundamental level, how we approach every single email we write and why many people like our emails.
I like that. So one of the key tactics there is honestly segmenting a piece of the list, right? Between customers yes. and non-customers.
Yes, absolutely. Right?
I think that's an important thing a lot of people don't consider. That's like super useful and critical. So what I would add to what you're saying, that I've learned over the last couple of years with email especially, which I wish I had known before, is that if you have an email list, the best thing you can do is start actually engaging with that email list in whatever way you can. One of my favorite ways, which I've used a few times this year, is I just ask them a question. And I just tell them they can reply to the email. I don't make them fill out a survey all the time. I don't do any of that. And I just ask a question. And that question that I ask should be designed around providing them with value. And I found that to be one of the key ways to really understand what their needs are and what I can do for them. And that helps me create great content over any other thing I've ever tried. And part of the reason is, they're receiving, think about the experience. They've signed up for my email list for some reason or another, and they are receiving my emails. They have opted in, and they want something from me. If I don't know what they want, then I'm just giving them bullshit that they don't want. So my key driver of writing great email is first and foremost knowing what they want. My second driver is basically making sure that once I know what they want, I am actually delivering on it, and it is better content for what they want than anything else out there. And that's a really high bar, but today, if people are still running around saying email is dead, one of the reasons they're saying that is that good email is dead.
Mm.
Great email is thriving. It's alive. It gets you everything you could possibly want, but it takes so much effort and so much work that most people aren't willing to do it today.
I love that. I have to go back and highlight this to make sure nobody misses this, right? Email isn't dead. Good email is, you know, is so rare that if you do
great email. Good email is dead.
Yeah.
Good email is dead. Those images, those e-commerce emails with sales, those are dead. Those are dead. What you need to do is you need to write great email, and you cannot do that. Sorry, Steli, taking your time.
No, yeah.
If you cannot write great email, do not do email. Learn how to write great email, and I just told you how in two steps.
I love it. I almost want to just stop here because this is so good. I butchered it. I thank you. You saved me, actually. You didn't take my time. I was thinking, good email is dead. But what was it? It's great. But I was like, no, but good email is good. And you're like, great email. And I'm like, oh, yes. Okay, sorry.
Okay. This is like, come on, Steli. People read your emails because they're awesome.
Yeah.
People read your content because it's awesome. It's better than anything else they can read today on that topic that they asked for. And in your case, you guys have turned into a machine of intuitively knowing what salespeople want. But it's not because you didn't do any work. It's because you spent many years building sales teams for other companies. You know exactly what this market thinks about all the time, right?
Yeah. And we also...
So you didn't have to ask that question, but you know. Yeah, go ahead.
But also, I think this is really the obvious truth that everybody will go, yeah, I totally get this, but nobody does, which is we cared about them getting value. Like we care, like most people are very selfish in the way they do things, right? They're like, all right, I want people to open my emails, or I want people to hit reply, or I want to drive more trials. So since I want this, how can I manipulate people into just bullying them or pushing them to do the thing I want them to do? Or I just want to send an email. I'm in the marketing team and we have a 200,000 email list, and I just want to be sending out 200,000 emails once a month because that makes me feel excited. Or I really like to do nice designs for an HTML email, and there's no other place that's good than a newsletter. So I'm fucking around for a whole week designing the most beautiful looking newsletter with the most generic, useless information in it. Most emails are sent incredibly selfishly without a single care in the world of who's receiving it and what their needs are. I think that's really the differentiator here. If you don't think about the person receiving your email, if you don't care about what they need, they don't care about you, and they don't give a fuck about what you want, and they don't respond to it. And that's the end of it, right? And you don't need to be an expert in email. Like every fucking person on earth right now that has a job and is in a business and is not like a 6-year-old, is already an expert in email, in bad email and good email. Just ask yourself, what are the emails every day that I get that are total bullshit, that I delete, archive, or that I'm like shaking my head in disbelief? Why are they sending me this crap? Or I'm puzzled. What does this person want from me? Any of these emails are an example for shitty email. Just learn just ask yourself, why am I puzzled about this? Why do I think this is spam? Why do I think this is dumb? And then don't do that. And then think about the rare cases. It's so rare that you get an email that you think, whoa, this is awesome. How many times does it really happen? Not often, but it still happens. When that happens, just ask yourself, what about this email do I like so much? Don't just respond as the recipient. Also respond or take the chance to really be a student of good email and good communication and ask yourself, why is this great? Like, why is this different? I just got an email yesterday. I get like tons of email every day from developer shops, right? Outsource, like, oh, we see you're hiring developers. It always starts with something like this. either great engineer in the subject line, and then I know it's a recruiter or it's a development shop, and it says, well, we have many great engineers, and we work really cheaply offshore from whatever place in the world. And like, I get so many of these crappy emails, and it's like always just like spam, 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 spam. Yesterday, I got one of these emails, but here's the differentiator. I don't remember what the subject line was, but I opened the email, and his first sentence was, Stelly, I know that you're just seconds away from hitting spam or delete, and I totally get it. Please give me just two more sentences before we make that decision. You know, yes, we are a developer shop and we do outsourced engineers, blah, blah, blah. And then he just continued. And I was like, this is actually really good. It doesn't mean that it doesn't mean that I'm a good fit for his service or that we are going to become a customer instantly. But this person realized that almost everybody he's emailing, the first thought they have is this another outsourced developer shop email? And let me go as quickly as possible to the spam or delete button. And since he knows that everybody's thinking this, he's addressing it in the email, right? He's telling me, dude, I know you're going to delete this in a second. Please, just for the love of God, give me three more sentences before you make that judgment call. And I was like, yep, that's a fair call. That's a fair ask. I'll give you three. I'm intrigued now. I'll give you three more sentences. I'll read on for three more sentences before making a final decision. It's these little things that stand out. Like I'm getting like, I don't know, 30 of these emails a day. And I can't think of the last time that I got an email that I read four or five sentences of. And his I did because he seemed to care. He seemed to know. He seemed to, he was standing out with his email from all the other ones I got. And I assume that he's getting a lot more success with it, right? It's a tough, crowded market and very competitive, but it's these little things. When you get a great email, it stands out. I've been on your email list. It used to be the Heat and Shaw newsletter where you curated all the like best content in SaaS. Today it's called Product Habits. You guys, if you're not already on it, go to producthabits.com and get on the fucking list because this is one of the few lists. There's like two people or so that I'm like on their curated list because I know I'm going to get really fucking great content. If Heaton likes an article, I know the sheer amount of volume of content that you read, Heaton, if you put it in your newsletter, it's good. Your summaries actually are oftentimes better than the fucking article. So I'm like, you know, 90% of the time, I just read your email really word for word. I read the summaries of the stuff that you post. I get an incredible amount of value from it. And it's one of the few emails that I open every single week that I get from an entity or person or company, right? Why? Because you're putting in the effort to really have amazingly valuable content there. You put in the effort to not just have a link share, like just have like, here's the top 10 articles I read, just like the links, or here's the top 10 articles I read. Here's the first two sentences I copy and pasted from the blog post with like a dot, 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 and then click here to read the whole article. No, you actually put in the work and time to read the fucking thing and then summarize it in two or three sentences for your audience. And you do a pretty damn good job at it. So just you're receiving email every single day. Learn from the mistakes of people based on your reactions and learn from the things that people and companies do really well based on your reactions, right? So study great email by just your inbox as the university for greatness and for poor examples as well.
Yeah, I just wanted to quickly double click on what you said, which is, you know, I did my best to not have to write those thorough kind of summaries. Even if they're short, they're thorough and they're descriptive. And like you said, sometimes they can be better than a lot of the content and the introductions, et cetera, and the content. One, I love finding the best links each week. So, and I have a really good idea of the audience and what people are looking for. But two, I tried to lazy it out, Stelly. And you know what I got? I got replies from people saying, can you go back to the old format where you actually describe the link in your own words? And I'm like, damn, I got to spend that time because like, look, this is the difference between good email and great email. So a good email is, okay, Heaton's a good curator. Here's a bunch of links. A great email is here's his opinion on each link. And then it's like you said, you know, I spent the time. More importantly, you wanted to hear what I had to say about it because you're signing up for my newsletter.
Yeah.
Right. And that is so powerful. And just again, good email, dead. Great email, more alive than ever.
I love it. All right, we'll end on this power quote from the legend, the myth, the man.
You're the myth. You're the legend. Not me.
All right, that's it from us.
Thank you, though.
That's it from us. We'll hear you very soon. By the way, do us a favor. If you haven't done it yet, if you like the podcast and you appreciate it, we know from the awesome feedback we get from people that you do. And if you haven't sent us an email, please do. And if you appreciate the podcast, if you have suggestions for topics, so shoot us an email at steli@close.io or hnshaw@gmail.com. And make sure to go to iTunes, give us 5 stars, give us a review. It's going to help us rank higher, get more people to discover the podcast, and hopefully more people in startups benefit from the things that we're discussing every single week. That's our call to action for today. And that's it from us. We'll hear you very soon.
Later.
Later.